בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, אמן. יעקב אבינו תעש סן יוסף, ועשית עמדי חסד באמת, אל נא תקברני במצרים, דרותו לי חסד, בנת אין איתם חסד, החסד את כל חסד באמת, שום חסד, don't bury me in Egypt. What is this chesed be'emet? And why does he tell him, see naya dechata atirichi, place your hand underneath my leg. Why do you have to put his hand on his leg when he's making this this condition? So Rashi says, the reason why you put the hand under the leg, that was the way they used to swear in the olden days. Today they put the hand on the Bible. In the olden days, for whatever reason, a swear was done when the person that needed to swear would hold the leg of the one that he's committing to. Like we saw by Abraham Avinu, if you remember. When Abraham Avinu told Eliezer to go find the wife, to Rivka, also he made him swear. And how did he make him swear? Simna yedekat ta'at yedekhi. This needs to be understood. Why, in this case, why in that case, why did they choose that swearing is done like that? Anyway, it says the pasuk, "Ba'asita imadi chesed be'emet." I told you I know what chesed is and I know what emet is. But what does it mean, chesed be'emet? Emet means truth. Chesed means kindness. But it doesn't say chesed and it doesn't say emet. It says chesed be'emet. What is this combination? So that she says, chesed she'osin in ametim v'chesed shel emet. The kindness that you do to the deceased, kindness that you do to dead people, that's called a chesed of emet. Why? She'eno mitzapeh l'tashlum gemul. Because the person that's doing it doesn't anticipate any payment, because the guy's dead. So therefore, normally when a person does chesed, maybe in his brain, he anticipates reciprocation. He anticipates something in return. So it's a chesed, but it's not pure. It's not called chesed shel emet. When a person is anticipating some sort of payback, so the chesed is tainted a little. But there's one type of chesed that Rashi says is pure. It's called chesed shel emet, and that's the chesed that one does with the dead, because the dead cannot repay you. So that you don't anticipate any reciprocation, and therefore it's a true chesed. And as she says, she'eno mitzapeh l'tashlum gemul. The person doesn't anticipate any remuneration. That's called chesed shel emet. There's a great rabbi called the Re'em. The Re'em is the Shem Tevot. Rabbi Eliyahu Tashensur. Rabbi, which it is also. But it's Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Re'em. And he wrote a commentary on Pirush Rashi. And he asked a very strong question. He said, what are you telling me? You're telling me that you only do chesed shel emet to the dead people. So how come when Eliezer went to find your wife for the car, Eliezer tells Laban and Betuel, ve'asita imadi chesed be'emet. He uses that same language, and they were alive. And everybody was alive with us, there was no dead people. Ve'ata im yeshem osim chesed be'emet et adoni. He tells Laban and Betuel, and now if you want to do chesed be'emet to my master Abraham. Abraham was alive. It's a very strong question that Em says, Rashi, you just established chesed shel emet is a one situation. Chesed that you do to the dead. And then Eliezer comes along and tells Laban and Betuel, please do chesed shel emet to my master. Give me Rivka. Yeah, chesed it is, but why is it chesed shel emet? Not only that, but later on in this parasha, Yaakov blesses all his children. When it comes to Yosef, Yaakov gives Yosef an extra portion of land, more than he gave the brothers. The great rabbi called Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, why did Yosef get an extra portion of land. What did he do to deserve it? So the Ulama Kadosh says that Yaakov says, because you committed to bury me in Israel, you get this extra portion of land. So he did get paid. So there goes the Hesed Shel Emet. The Hesed Shel Emet is one out the window. Yaakov Avinu tells his son, I gave you Shechem Echad, an extra portion over your brothers. And Ulama says, yes, because you did me a favor. You promised to marry me in Israel. So then it's not Hesed Shel Emet anymore. So what is Rashi going out his way to say? Oh, doesn't want remuneration, doesn't expect anything, not going to get anything. And here, 5 minutes later, he gets a reward. Not only that, I didn't come to ask you 100 questions. But I came to explain this to you. And the only way you can understand it properly is to understand that the normal way we've been understanding this all our lives cannot be accurate. Because if it's accurate, then you have to answer all these questions. But the way we're going to answer it today, all these questions dissipate. They go away to the air like magic. I want to ask you a question. When a person gives charity to a poor person, I say that's also Hesed Shel Emet. Everybody expect that the poor man is going to pay you back? Odds are the poor person is not going to become a billionaire. And even if he becomes a billionaire, he's not going to come back to you and give you money back. We give money to tzedakah, we say, I'm giving you the Shem Shamayim, I don't want anything back. No, that's not called Hesed Shel Emet. That's called Hesed. Why? So I know what you're going to tell me. No, you're giving the money to the Ani, so you're going to get rewarded in the Olam Haba. Okay, so when I bury the dead also, I'm not coming out to get rewarded in the Olam Haba. So what is the difference between the Hesed Shel Emet when it comes to the deceased? In order to understand this, there's a very important pasuk that we overlook. It's in Parashat Vayera. The pasuk is in Perek Yutet, pasuk Yutet. God is talking to Abraham Avinu, and God says, "Ki yedati, I love Abraham." Why does He love Abraham? The Ma'an Asher Yitzave et Banav, because He teaches His children Torah Mitzvot, the Shamiru Derech Hashem. He teaches them the Derech Hashem. God says, "I love Abraham." Because He teaches His children religion. La'asot tzedakah, u'mishpat, to do chesed, to do justice. Ne'ma'an habi Hashem al Abraham, et Hashem diber alav. So the pasuk says, you know who benefits if Abraham's children are religious? Ne'ma'an habi Hashem, so God will bring an Abraham the blessing. So that she says, oh, they're doing the religion, and Abraham gets the reward, it should say that they will get the reward. How could the Torah say, Lema'an Habi Hashem al Abraham? That's not my question, as she asked this question. As she says, oh, Al Bet Abraham lo ne'ema, Ela al Abraham. Why? Then Medenu, we learn from this, Kol Ma'ani ben Sadiq, Ki Ilu Eno Met. Oh, that anybody that leaves a child or a grandchild, his descendants, that are religious, that keep Torah Mitzvot, it's as if the person did not die. He's still alive. What does Hashem mean? Abraham Avinu was dead. We go to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. He's buried in Hebron. There's a tombstone over there. There's a tziyun. It says, tziyun shel Abraham Avinu. And then she says, but if you leave children that are observant, no man, he's not dead. So don't go, he's not dead, where is he? So I'll tell you what it means. The only place that a person could do mitzvot is in this world. The Zohar HaKadosh says, this world is called Olam HaAsiyah. It's the world of action. After a person dies, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Bametim chofshi." In death, a person is free. Free from what? Free from taxes, free from responsibilities. What does it mean, free? Free from what? Free from mitzvot. No matter how much influence a person has after his death, he cannot do his work. The Gaon de Vilna cried on his deathbed. When they told him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because in this world, for a few coins, I could buy a dervish to see and do mitzvah. In the next world, for all the money in the world, I cannot do anything." The tzaddikim love life because they know in life they can secure more mitzvah, they collect more good deeds, and that's why they're very zealous. They're always busy, the tzaddikim. They're always learning, they're always doing mitzvah because they know the time is short. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, "Hazman katzar, v'havelacha meruba." The time is short, and the belacha is daunting. The belacha is great. I had a rabbi in 8th grade, who eventually became a rabbi for the rest of my life. They called him Hakam Baruch Al Hashem, Ben Hayim. And when he would come into our classroom in Magen David in the 8th grade, every morning that's how he would start the class. "Boys, Hazman katzar, v'havelacha meruba." That was his way to motivate us. The time is short, and the work is very great. And then he would say the end of that statement, "V'apu'alim atzilim," and the workers are lazy. However, u'ba'alabayim dohek, but the boss is pushing, because the boss wants them to produce. So therefore the tzaddikim, they love this work. Not because of the Abel Abalim, not because of the frivolity of this world. They love this world because the world affords us opportunities to fulfill Tariyat Mitzvot. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived a very full life, who had a lot of Mitzvot, tons of Mitzvot, but at the end of his life he was begging God, give him a chance to go to Israel. He wants to go to Israel. He prayed 515 prayers, and the Gemara says, what does he want to go to Israel for? "Dechi le'echon le'periyatu tzarich." What, he wants to eat the Jaffa oranges? He wants to have a falafel sandwich? What does he want to go to Israel so badly for? What does he need to go to Israel for? And the Hakamim say, because there's certain mitzvot that you can only do in Israel. Terumot, Ma'asrot, Bikurim. These mitzvot are exclusively in Israel. They want to do the mitzvot. So therefore, he's begging God for the opportunity, more mitzvot in his registry. Because he knows once he checks out, even if he's Moshe Rabbeinu, he cannot do any more mitzvot. Therefore, the tzaddikim who don't know how long they're going to live, as nobody does, Arikut Yavim Yishanim, so therefore, they're very, very busy. Always squirreling and collecting more mitzvot, because they know there's going to come a time where it's over. And then there's going to be a regret. And the regret is going to be, "Oh, I should have done more mitzvot. I should have done something extra. What was I doing? Sleeping and wasting my time. I could have turned Olam HaZeh into Olam HaBa. Now that I'm Olam HaBa, I'm stuck." Bameitim Chofshi. However, the Gemara in Baba Batra on page Kuf Tet Zayin says, when David HaMelech passed away, it says, "Vayishkav David." The word "Vayishkav" means he lied down. He lied down. "Vayyoab," it says, by his general, "Vayamot," he died. So the Gemara wants to say, why when David dies, it says he lied down, "Vayishkav"? Which sounds like he was just sleeping. He really didn't die. And "Vayyoab," it says, no, he died. So the Gemara says, David, that left children that were going in his way of Torah, it doesn't say dead. But by Yoav, that did not leave children that were observant. So therefore, when he died, he died. What does it mean? It means that although a person cannot elevate himself in Olam Haba through his own actions, but it's possible that if he left children and grandchildren in this world that are observant, he's able to become elevated through them. That means their good deeds elevate the deceased. You've heard this all the time, I'm sure. Lo Alenu, you once heard a eulogy at a funeral, and some rabbi said this, yes, that when the kids do mitzvot for the deceased, it's going to elevate their mother or their father. And you believed it because you wanted to believe it. But you didn't know Is this documented? Is this true? Is this a fact? Or is this maybe a rabbi trying to make you feel good? Then once you just say, do his work. It's a rabbi's way of getting you to be observant. By saying, hey, listen, you'll have your mother in heaven. So they go, okay, it feels good. But I'm telling you, it's not only feel good. It's documented. God said to Abraham that by the fact that you taught your children Derech Hashem, La'asot Tzedakah U'Mishpat, Lema'an Havi Al Abraham. You're the beneficiary. Where? In all of Allah. And from there, she learned that anybody that's Ma'ami, Ben Sadiq Ki'ilu Lo Met, of course he's dead physically. Of course Adam's buried in the Ma'at Machpelah, but he just guaranteed himself a method that he could still elevate himself in Olam Haba. Without doing the mitzvot. But he's doing the mitzvot via his children. So it's a sense, I'm not saying it's a selfish thing, but if a parent was smart, we never want to die. We want to go to Olam Haba, and we still want to go to the next levels. So if you keep your emissaries on earth, your children and grandchildren, keep on observing mitzvot, every mitzvah they do is a credit to the mother and the father, because they taught the child and the grandchild, etc., etc. So therefore, the pasuk says, David, he didn't die. He went to sleep. What does it mean? Is he physically dead? Yes, physically he's dead. I'm sorry, I'm telling you, David Amir is physically dead. Right, but we say, David, Melech Yisrael, Hai B'Kayah. Hai B'Kayah means, in Shammai, it's like he's alive. And it's like he's doing his work. And it's every year they go to the people that are deceased. I'll tell you a secret that one of the big Sadiqim said. It says on Rosh Hashanah, there's two books that are open. Sifrei Hayim and Sifrei Metim. The book of life and the book of death. When you went to kindergarten, they told you, the book of life is the people that are going to live. And the book of death are those that are not going to live. That's a simple interpretation. You know what the death is? Sifrei Hayim is the book of the living. And Sifrei Metim is the book of the deceased that died already. You're going to ask me a question. Rabbi, I understand why we open up the book of the living on Rosh Hashanah to judge them. But why are we opening up the book of the deceased? They died already. They were judged. But the deceased are judged every year. And what can you judge the deceased on? There's nothing he can do in Shamayim. But they judge the deceased every year on Rosh Hashanah on what effect did they leave in this world? What did their children do? And therefore they say to the deceased, look, your children gave charity. They did chesed. They prayed. They did mitzvot. You taught them that. You paid for their tuition. You gave them chinuch. They keep Shabbat. The boys are wearing tefillin. They saw from their father. And therefore the deceased are judged. And therefore it's possible for somebody not to be here, but still to be able to benefit from its mitzvot. That's why David HaMelech doesn't die. Hai V'Kayam. I once saw an unbelievable chiddush from the Hatam Sofer. This chiddush I said 2 years ago when I delivered a eulogy for Hakam HaMelech Yosef in Jerusalem. They invited me to Hakam HaMelech's son's yeshiva, Hakam David Yosef, in Jerusalem, in Har Nof. Just a few steps away from where Hakam HaMelech lived. And they asked me to deliver a hesped in front of the yeshiva. Amongst the things I said about Hakam HaMelech at that hesped, I said the following kiddush. There's two words in Hebrew. One word is called Olech, and the other one is called Omed. Well, what does Omed mean? Omed is somebody that's standing in place. Omed is used when you're referring to something that's stagnant. This cup is Omed. It's not moving. It's in place. It's fixed. That's Omed. Olech is someone that's in motion. Someone that's moving, somebody that's in flux, somebody that's growing is called the Holech. David HaMelech, before he passed away, called in his son Shlomo, King Solomon. The Pasuk says, "Vayikribu yemei David Lamut." And the days of David came close. Vayitzav et Shlomo beno lemor. And he called the son Shlomo, and he told him, "Anochi olech bederech kol ha'aretz." I am now going like the rest of the world. What he meant to say is, I'm going to expire. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm a chiyolech v'derech kol ha'aretz. That's the way of the life. People are born, they live a long life, and then they expire. David HaMelech says, I'm a chiyolech v'derech kol ha'aretz. So he says, what the Atam Zofer says. But the Pasuk says, he commanded his son. What's the commandment? I don't see the commandment. He commanded him, saying, what's the commandment? That's a fact. Commandment usually is telling somebody to do something. He didn't tell them anything, he's just giving you a fact of life. So the Atam Zofer says something brilliant. He says, Shlomo, I'm now about to die, but I'm commanding you that when I die, I don't want to be stagnant. When I get to Olam Haba, I don't want to be in place. Anochi holech bederech kol ha'aretz. I want to be holech, just like everybody else is holech bekol ha'aretz. Just like on earth, everybody's holech, they can grow. I'm commanding you, Shlomo, to make sure that anochi holech bederech kol ha'aretz. And only you can fulfill that because you're my son. And therefore, the Atam Zofer says, he told the son, by Zavit Shlomo beno lemor. Lemor means to say. Who's Shlomo saying this to? Saying it to himself, and to his children, and to his grandchildren. That your grandfather said to me before he died, he gave me a last will and testament. And the last will and testament was, Anochi holech bederech kol ha'aretz. I want to be a holech. I said that about Acham HaMajah Adonai Shalom. Because Acham HaMajah Adonai Shalom is holech bederech kol ha'aretz. Because he loves so many students, and he loves so many books, and he loves so much Torah, that anytime somebody studies the Torah of that great rabbi, he goes up. But that doesn't only happen to Acham HaMajah. That happens to every parent, even regular people like us. That we invest in our children, an investment in the child is an investment in himself. In order that you have now indefatigability, which means you become eternal. We can eternalize ourselves through our kids. But God forbid, if somebody's children are not following the Torah and mitzvot, then God forbid the person becomes dated. Then when you look on the tombstone and it says, died 2015, finished, it's over, he's dead. That's the last moment. But those that are living with their children doing mitzvot, it's open-ended. He doesn't die. And that's why there's a famous Gemara. Most people don't understand this Gemara because they struggle to understand it. It's in Gemara Ta'ani, page here. Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo met. Yaakov didn't die. Even the Gemara couldn't understand. What do you mean Yaakov Avinu lo met? The Gemara says, V'halo saftu sabdaya. V'halo hantu hantaya. V'halo kabru kabraya. I mean, he didn't die. They eulogized him, they buried him, and they embalmed him. And then you tell me he didn't die? Somebody was in that coffin. That was Yaakov Avinu. He came to the Marat HaMachpelah. So the Rebbe says, no, you misunderstood me. You misunderstood me. You asked all these questions, you didn't let me finish. What do you mean that I mean, Rabbi said? The Gemara says, Ma zar'o b'chayim, afu b'chayim. Just like his children are alive, so too he is alive. Rabbi, I still don't understand. You said Yaakov Avinu was dead. No, just like his children's alive, he's alive. No, his children are alive, but he's dead. The explanation is that since Yaakov Avinu, he left 12 tzaddikim in the world. So even though they buried him, and even though they eulogized him, and even though they embalmed him, but he doesn't die. That means he's still able to elevate himself through his children. God forbid when we say the word met means it's finished. He's standing. He's stagnant. And that's why there is a Gemara. I said this at a hesped for one of our members that passed away a few weeks ago, Mr. Jack D. Cohen, Harad Shalom, who was one of the founding members of our congregation. He was a very, very special man, a very great man. He was very charitable, very kind-hearted. So at the hesped, I opened my eulogy 2 weeks ago, saying a Gemara in Shabbat on page 153. And I said the following interpretation. The Gemara says, Amar le Rav le Rav Shmuel bar Shela. Rav told his student, Rav Shmuel bar Shela, Ahi mehespeda. When you give my eulogy, warm the people up. Ahi mehespeda. Warm them up. Because I will be there. And the rabbi said that at the time of the hesped, the deceased is there. The deceased comes to listen. So he said, give a good speech because I'm going to be there. I'm going to listen to it. What does it mean? He wants to hear a good speech? He's dead already. What does he care if it's a good speech or a good speech? I'll tell you the death. The purpose of the eulogy is to warm the people's heart in order to inspire them, in order that they should do good deeds. It's not just to make them cry, to make them depressed, to make them sad, so they go home to sleep, and they get scared, and they become frightened. This is a bad eulogy. The purpose of his spirit is to motivate the people. That the people that are living say to themselves, wow, what a great person we lost. What a tzaddik, what a tzaddeket. You know something? I want to be like that. I want to do that. The Gemara says in Berachot, page 7, Ekra be'espeda deluye. The reward of a eulogy is to lift. So everybody learns to lift the deceased. No. To lift the living. That when the living hear a good eulogy, they become uplifted. Deluye, they become motivated to do good deeds. Why is it so important? Because who gets the credit when those good deeds are done? The deceased. And therefore, Rav was telling his student, Ahim behispeda, give a warm speech, which means warm their hearts up. Why? Dehatam. Because over there in Olam Abba, Ka'ina, I am standing. Which means he was saying, I can't do anything anymore. Dehatam Ka'ina, over there I'm stagnant. And the only way I'll be able to move is through the actions of the living. Therefore, please do me a favor. Motivate them. Give them something to fulfill in my name. Tell them my good ways so they'll want to emulate my good ways. And therefore, I'll have reward in Olam Haba. He wasn't interested just to hear a good speech. He knew that if the congregation is uplifted, then the deceased is uplifted. Because the actions of the people that are alive influence the dead, but specifically, as I said already, when it comes to the children. There was a rabbi called Aliyeh. He was once given a stead for his rabbi. And he said the following. He said, a pasuk in Shemot, Vayisa malacha Elohim ha-holech lefne machane Yisrael vayelech me'achareim. I'll remind you the simple interpretation and then the rabbi's beautiful derash. He said when the Jews were coming out of Egypt, there was an angel that traveled in front of the people. Vayisa malacha Elohim ha-holech lefne machane Yisrael. The angel traveled in front of the people. And then all of a sudden, at a certain point, the pasuk says, "Vayelech me'achareihem." All of a sudden, the angel went behind. The rabbi said, a beautiful derash. He said the Sadiq is compared to an angel. Tamid Hakam, righteous people, I refer to angels. Maybe you heard, even in our language, we say, he's an angel, she's an angel. The good people are referred to angels. The Pasuk says that the Sadiq, when he's living, he's in front of the people. He leads the people. He elevates the people. He guides the people. In his life, the Sadiq is in front. However, after he passes away, the Pasuk says, Vayelech, the only way he's able to grow now, me'acharehem. Now he's behind them. Once he passes away, he goes behind them. Now the only way that he can grow is by them, which means the roles reverse. When he's alive, he's in front lifting the people. When he passes away, he's behind. Now the people need to lift him. Vayisam al-acha Elohim ha'olech lefnei machane Yisrael, vayelech me'acharehem. And you don't have to go far for this concept. I believe that this concept needs to be cemented in our minds. This to me is a great motivation. The motivation to teach our children. Teaching our children, giving them religious chinuch, is to our benefit. Parents that are delinquent, that they don't want the children to do mitzvot, they're hurting themselves. When they get to Olam Haba, they have such regret, they say, what did we do? We don't want our children to be too religious. We don't want them to be too observant. It wasn't acceptable socially. Who cares about socially? And a lot of money, you're going to care about socially. You're going to care about if it was accepted or wasn't accepted, and when you live in the community you lived in. And a lot of money, all you're going to care about is elevating yourself. But it's too late. You cannot come back. So the Pasuk says in Kiryat Shema, ולמדתם אותם את בניכם לדבר בם. Teach your children. שבתך בבתיך, בבתיך בדרך, שבתך בקומך. Why? למען ירבו ימיכם, וימי בניכם, עד האדמה, אשר נשבע אדוני לעבודיכם לתת להם, כמי השמיים על הארץ. Teach your children Torah so you'll merit man yirbuy mechin your whole life. Where none of this from? Al Adama, the land, Hashem is my Hashem that God promised you. I understand all that, but what is the last words? Kimei Hashamayim al Haaretz. Ladies, I'm sure you say Kiryat Shema at least once a day. I say the Kiryat Shema four times a day. But you won't get to say it once a day. How do you learn? Kimei Hashamayim al Haaretz. Kimei Hashamayim, I mean, even a literal interpretation. Kimeh, like the days of the Shamayim on the artists on the earth. What does that mean? But based on what we're saying today, is that if you teach your children Torah, and you have religious descendants, then when you go to that world, then your days in Shamayim, Kimeh HaShamayim, it will be Allah artists, it will be as if you're Allah artists still. That even after we retire and we go to the Shamayim, Kineh Shamayim, you'll still have the status of the Aris. That's the goal, to turn Shamayim into Aris. How did you turn Shamayim into Aris? Then your days in Shamayim become like days on Aris. Then you still have an ability to be a Honech. There was a great rabbi called Ketav Sofer. But this I heard from many rabbis. The Gemara says, regarding a child, the Gemara says, Bera kera de'abu. The child is the leg of the father. What does that mean? Well, you know, it can mean he's an extension of the father, he's the inheritor of the father, he continues the father's way. But that's what the Gemara says, Bera kera de'abu. The son is the leg of the father. Hakam Baruch Alav Shalom, my rabbi, there was a certain fellow in the community he didn't like so much. But he liked his father a lot. So the fellow was a little arrogant to the rabbi. And he came to the rabbi and says, how can I, you like me, Rabbi, the Gemara says, Ve'ra'kira de'avu. The child is the leg of the father. And if you love my father, you have to love me. So the rabbi said, I remember your father had a limp. He had the answer. He said, your father had a limp, I remember. But the point of this Gemara is deeper. When somebody passes away, he has no legs anymore, which means he cannot progress on his own. Now he's omed. He cannot walk anymore. He cannot grow. However, if he leaves proper children, the child becomes the legs of the father and mother. Now through the children, the parent is able to move. So it's coming to teach us the secret, that if a person wants to have legs in the future, he has to use his own legs as long as he can, and then he has to prepare legs that he leaves behind him. That's the Birakirat Abu. Now I have an understanding. Yaakov Avinu was about to die. And he comes along and he tells his son Yosef, he says, I need for you to do for me a chesed, but not a regular chesed. Chesed ve'emet. But true chesed. And what does Rashi say a true chesed is? Chesed she'osim imam metim hu chesed she'emet. The chesed that's done with the dead is a real chesed. Why? She'eno metzaper tashlum gemur. We always learned it that it means because the person that's doing the chesed doesn't expect reward. But you know what she's really saying? That she's saying the deceased doesn't expect any more reward. And it was since the deceased eno mitzaper, he has no anticipation for any more reward, he's telling the child, you have to do me this chesed. Because now you become my proxy. That's what chesed be'emet is. The chesed that somebody does with the dead is that he keeps them alive. That's a chesed she'emet. Because the dead person is eno mitzaper l'gmul. He doesn't have any anticipation anymore reward. How can he get reward? He's passing away. He's no more mitzvah. And since he's eno mitzaper l'gmul, he has no anticipation for reward anymore. He turns to his children and says, please, do me a chesed. Do me a kindness. Keep me alive. And that's why Yaakov Avinu says, Anna tikbereni b'mitzrayim. I don't want to be buried in Egypt because I don't want to die. And what's the next word? V'shachavti imavotai. I want to rest. I don't want to die. V'shachavti imavotai. What can Yosef do? Yosef can do exactly what he did till now. Tzadik, Yirat Shamayim, Mitzvot. And that's probably why Yaakov Avinu tells his son, before he makes him make this commitment, put your hand on my leg. Why would he tell him to put his hand on his leg? Because he's trying to tell his son, you see these legs over here? These legs over here cannot work after I pass. So I cannot be a holech anymore. You have to become my legs. You have to accept upon yourself, as well as your brothers, that you are going to do this mitzvah. That you are going to become my proxy. Because I don't anticipate any more reward. I don't anticipate any more reward. But if you are my yerachayim, then I have a chance to even not die but the shayafti. That's why, by the way, I think it's very significant because right when Yaakov Avinu dies, if you look at the pasuk at the end of the parasha, the pasuk says right when he's about to die, after he gives all the blessings, tells him, "Bury him in the Marat Machpela." Vaychal Yaakov letzavot et manav, finishes giving his last will and testament, v'yeesof raglav el amita. He collected his legs and he put it in the bed. What kind of talk is that? V'yeesof raglav. The explanation of Pasuk is coming to say, v'yeesof raglav, at that point over there, Yaakov is his raglayim, which means moving on his own ability, stops. V'yeesof raglav. And now the promise that Yosef was Abed, Sidna Yadekat Yadekhi, once Yaakov has to put his legs in, now Yosef and the Shevatim have to take over. They have to become the legs of their father as well as everybody else, have to become the legs of their parents. And therefore, the same thing, when Eliezer went to the house of Laban and Betuel, they were alive. But what does Eliezer tell Laban Betuel? He says to them, "Im yeshchem, im yeshchana osim chesed ve'emet et Adoni. Do a chesed ve'emet to my master." Abraham is alive. What's the chesed ve'emet? Because now Yitzchak needs to get married. Because Yitzchak's going to have children, and those are going to be the grandchildren of Abraham. And the chesed ve'emet you can do to Abraham is, give us this tzedekah that will produce proper grandchildren, Yaakov and his children, and that will guarantee that Abraham Avinu doesn't die. And that will guarantee that after Abraham Avinu's legs don't work anymore, we're going to do from chesed ve'emet. And now I'll tell you one extra secret to explain you. If you take the word met means to die. But if you add an aleph to the word met, it becomes emet. Very interesting. It's possible to turn met into emet. Yaakov Avinu lo met. Yaakov Avinu, on the contrary, since his children are following his ways, Yaakov turns met into emet. But what's the secret of the word emet? I'll tell you what emet means. Is that emet is something that's constant. The emet never changes. Sheker changes. Falsehood always changes. A person who's lying, one day says this, the other day says that. There's no consistency in sheker. But emet is absolute. Emet, there is no change, it's consistent from one generation to the next generation. Emet. That's why I told you once a mathematical hiddush from the Zohar HaKadosh. Emet is Aleph Mem Tav, which incidentally Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet, Mem is the middle letter, Tav is the last letter. Emet is true from the beginning to the middle to the end. But I didn't come to tell you that. Emet, Aleph is 1, and Mem is 40, and Tav is 400. Emet numerically equals 441. That's easy. But there's also what's called Mespar Katan, is the small number. The way you calculate the small number is you add 4 plus 4 plus 1. So the small number of Emet is 9. I know the number 9 doesn't excite anybody. 9 is a number that doesn't mean anything. However, it's very significant. Because 9 is the most constant number in all of numerics. It never changes. 9 plus 1 is 9. 9 plus 2 is 18. 18 is 1/8. 1/8 is 9. 9 times 3 is 27. 2 plus 7 is 9. 9 times 4 is 36. 3 plus 6 is 9. 45. 4 plus 5 is 9. 54, 5 plus 4 is 9, 63 is 9, 72 is 9, 81 is 9, 90 is 9. It's always constant. Every time you multiply it, it's the same 9. No other number does that. No other number does that. What's the representing of the word emet? Emet means that the father's religious, and then he reproduces a child, and he follows the same way, that's Emin. And now that the grandchild, and they're still observing Torah and Mitzvot, that's called Emet. There's a great grandchild, that's called Emet. Shaken as if the first generation is religious and the second wasn't able to pass it on. Now it's inconsistent. Whenever you see Emet, Emet is the concept to bring your values and multiply it in your child, and it's consistent. That's the secret of Emet. Just like Emet always goes back to nine. Yaakov Avinu was Emet because he was able to take his values and transfer it to his children. That's the Emet of Yaakov. And therefore, if there's Emet, there's no Met. Emet is no Met. Because then his children allow him to live forever. This is what Yaakov was saying to his son. Do for me Hesed ve'emet. Do for me Hesed. What's the chesed I want you to do for me? I don't want to die. And I taught you well. That's emet. And it will perpetuate the nine. Perpetuate the nine. Perpetuate the number. Don't veer off. Don't go to a different place. And those that connect to emet, they live. And that's why, which letter in the Hebrew alphabet is nine? Tef. Very good. You answered that very fast. But anybody that's connected to Tet, he lives forever. But what's the letter before Tet? Chet. And what's the letter after Tet? Yud, that's Chaim. So therefore the letter Tet is surrounded by Chet Yud, which is Chaim, which is light. And therefore you see, to perpetuate values is a constant. But unfortunately, we are witnessing today what we call Yiridat HaDorot. Yiridat HaDorot means the generations are going down. The generations are going down. It's much harder to keep our children consistent. The challenges of the parents and the challenges of the children are different. Children have much greater challenges, they have much greater tests, much bigger misyonot. So it's not easy to keep the values. Become much harder. I'll tell you one more secret, then I have to go. There's another number in the numerics, the number 8. The number 8 doesn't excite anybody. The number 8 is a regular number, it doesn't mean anything. But there's something interesting. 8, 8 times 1 is 8. 8 times 2 is 16, and then 24, and then 32, and then 40, and then 48, and then 56, and then 64. That's all I have to do. You notice something amazing about 8? It's not like 9 that stays consistent. 8 is 8. 8 times 2 is 16. 1 plus 6 is 7. It went down. 8 times 3 is 24. 2 plus 4 is 6. It went down. 8 times 4 is 32. 3 plus 2 is 5. It went down. 8 times 5 is 40. That's 4 zeros. 4 went down. 8 times 6 is 48. 4 plus 8 is 12. 1, 2 is 3. It went down. 8 times 7 is 56. 5 plus 6 is 11. 1, 1 is 2. It went down. And 8 times 8 is 64. 6 plus 4 is 10. That's one. What's the explanation? Did you ever hear that when a person does a sin, so it brings them down, and it brings them down, and it brings them down, and it keeps on falling and falling, avirah, goredek, avirah, until the sin brings them to a very low place. And the first sin, not so low, the second sin, lower, and the third sin, lower, until he reaches all the way to the bottom. And how do you say sin in Hebrew? Het. Het is 8. The Het. And therefore the Het, the number 8, always goes down. The hint when a person makes a Het is a Yiridah. It's the opposite of the number 9. The number 9 is constant. It doesn't change. Loshina. But the number 8, which is represented in Het, it keeps on dropping and dropping and dropping. And therefore, the lesson over here is that it's possible for human beings to be immortal. Immortality is possible. Kimya shamayim ala aris. But it takes work. And that's the job of the parents and the grandparents, to bring their children to the Atamizvot, the Kiddusha, the Tahara, and then we do the ultimate chesed. The ultimate chesed is to guarantee our parents and grandparents that they never die. But that commitment must be by taking our hand figuratively and putting it under the leg. Just like Abraham Avinu did to Eliezer before he sent him. He said, put your hand under my leg because I need to make grandchildren now. And I want them to be my leg as well. And therefore he made him hold his leg to remind him the purpose of the mission. And therefore when he got there, he told him, you must do Hesed Be'emet. Because Abraham Avinu doesn't want to die. And that's why God said to Abraham Avinu, Ma'an Havi al Abraham. Deeds of Abraham's children benefit Abraham like the deeds of Yaakov's children benefit Yaakov. And that's the secret of what the Gemara means. Yaakov Avinu Domet, my friend. That Bezat Hashem, God should give us a full term life for 120 years where we can work for ourselves. But after that, we should be Zocher, the Banim and Banot Sadiqim, that will give us the ability to remain immortal and alive. Amen.